Shogger, it's interesting. The Minnesota Wild. Well, we've never seen this before, ever in the history of the NHL. They're going to have dead cap space of, like, this year it's minimal. They save a lot of money, over $10 million. But then next year they have 12.7 in dead cap space. The year after that it's 14.7. The year after that it's 14.7 million. Like, this is like the Zach Parise one. Okay, I can kind of understand. But the Ryan Suter one, it's just, there's got to be something like a disconnect with him in the organization to do this, because it's really mind blowing. Because even if you open up space to sign Fiala and Kaprizov this year, the next year, the 2 years after that, those guys are like, yeah, but now we can't sign anyone else because we have all this dead cap space. Like, it's a very perplexing decision.
Well, and in a flat cap era too, and we're not really sure when some breathing room is going to be given on the overall cap number. So, I mean, you've been super vocal in the last few months about carrying dead cap space and how damaging that can be moving forward.
Oh.
And this is, like, gobsmacking. I mean, they're going to be relying on – they've got some good young players, but my goodness, they're going to – they're like, I heard in Bill Guerin's some of his comments today, he talked about how we're going to have to do a real good job of drafting and developing and – you know, so they think they're going to fix this by drafting guys and playing guys on entry-level deals and you know, getting guys that are in the cheap part of their careers. And I don't know. This is just a huge wallop to take out of your cap. To do it with both guys? Like, why did it have to be both of them?
Yeah, that's why, to me, there's something more to the Suter one. The Parise one, I understand, right? Like, he hasn't come close to contributing anything. But the Suter.
Well, maybe
ones.
maybe they asked him to waive his no trade, and he wouldn't.
Yeah, well,
like
they asked
about yesterday.
Yeah, well, they asked Bill Guerin that, but even that, I'm like, well, okay, he says he wouldn't do it, like, and I could see that being irritating, right? But and if he, well, you know, because Mike Russo told us on our DFO podcast that, you know, there's a little bit of friction between Suter and the organization, but that would be taking it to a massive new level. It's definitely a kind of crazy. Now, you know, when Suter got bought out today, I saw a lot of people saying, oh, look, the Oilers just could have got him. And I'm like, no, they couldn't. Because the one thing I did looking in my research, American players do not sign free agent tickets in Canada. Very rarely.
Yeah.
Since 2018, there's been Alex Galchenyuk in Ottawa for a year, and then Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis at $750K in Winnipeg. That's it.
That's it, hey?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
For American players signing free agent deals in Canada?
Yes. Since 2018. Like, the last big one that I can go back was, like, Brian Gionta in Montreal, and that's, like, in 2009.
I'm racking my brains right now. But if you've looked into it, I went
through every team, all the seven Canadian teams since 2018.
Yeah,
right?
They
signed like European, but just American. And I get it. Americans are very proud of their country, they like it. And so when you had 24, now 25 options. You know, they look, well, geez, you know, okay, here, but I could stay here. You know, a lot of family people are like, well, I'd rather stay in the States. So they do it.
Yeah, so you're saying that because Brandon Saad's American, isn't he? Is he Canadian?
No, I don't. Ooh, that's a good
confused.
One. I don't think, I don't know. Saad, you're right. Saad is, I think he's from Pittsburgh, maybe, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, that makes it harder for Edmonton to get him, no question.
Well, part of the decision making on you know, going back to this Duncan Keith trade yesterday, like, people will evaluate the trade on the surface for, okay, how do you feel about that trade kind of in isolation? And there's lots of people that have lots of questions about it, and that's totally fair. I think what the organization ends up having to do is say, okay, what does the left side look like? And how important is it that the left side get better next year? And what are the consequences if the left side doesn't make a significant improvement next year? So, okay, what are the options to make it better next year? Well, there's Duncan Keith sitting there that wants to come here, and so that's an option. And this is the team speaking, if we don't do that, what are the options for making the left side better next year? Well, what options are out there in trade? Don't know the answer to that, right? Those are the phone calls we're not on. We don't know what might be available out there in a trade. What are the options in free agency? We can all look at the list and see that there's not a ton there in free agency. And if they, a couple of guys, and I think we agree Alexiak will either stay or someone will overpay him. Depending on how you feel about your chances of landing Alec Martinez or something like that. So they're left with, okay, if you don't do this trade, how do you move the dial? How do you improve in that position next year? Because you got to put a team on the ice. In the meantime, you don't have Larson signed yet, and I don't think that's locked right up. I don't think that that's the numbers in the bag and it's absolutely going to get done. I feel like that's still somewhat up in the air. So they got to put players on the ice next year. So I think the team sort of has to look at it like, in a bubble, yes, the trade, sure, the number, the cap number isn't great. But, they are better with Duncan Keith today than they were yesterday without him. And they got a good player that's going to play a lot of minutes for them. He might, whether he meets the contract or not. But what would the other option have been on the left side if they didn't do that trade? Like, what do you think? Who would have played left defense for him this season if they didn't do this deal?
Oh, hey, I wrote that in my article today. Like that's why after, looking at a lot of things and, the Adam Larson recognizing that, they don't have a deal, there's a risk of losing him. I still would have liked some salary retention for Edmonton. I've said that from day one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Duncan Keith's better than Jones. He's better than Lagesson. He's better than Russell. So, there's not much of a debate on that. The debate is the cap hit and can he live up to it? So, that's a fair question. So we'll see, see how close he gets to it. But, you could have waited.
You got to put a team on the ice.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can wait. And obviously his star players are on board with the deals. Not that, and it's not like you consult your players on everything, but you do it every now and then. So, we'll see how it plays out for the Edmonton Oilers. But I'll say this, if Alexiak doesn't get to free agency, which I think there's a very good chance he'll just re-sign in Dallas after the expansion draft.
Agreed.
Jake McCabe is an American, and I think he's going to sign with one of the 25 USA teams.
He missed a bunch, right?
Yeah, he's banged up a bit, but I still like Jake McCabe, right? I think he only played 15 games last year, but scouts are very high on him. Like he's in Buffalo, and their team's been terrible, so maybe people don't watch him a lot. But there's a lot of people who like Jake McCabe. Yeah. However,
I've definitely heard his name too, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the Oilers have interest. Sure, I don't think Jake McCabe as an American is going to have a ton of interest coming to Canada. So
right, Murray. Does Ryan Murray move the dial for you?
Some say, what about Dmitry Kulikov? I'm not like Dmitry Kulikov and Ryan Murray. Like Dmitry Kulikov is the player that we saw in Edmonton. He can give you stints and then he can have just massive brain farts. And that's kind of who he is, and that's okay. But I'm not sure that he's a better second pair defenseman than Duncan Keith at this point. Ryan Murray is very much a defensive defenseman. Ryan Murray paired with Duncan Keith probably would be good if you lost Adam Larson, right?
Yeah.
And to me, the one player left in free agency that Edmonton could make a push at, I still think it's going to be hard because there's going to be a bidding war and stuff, is Dougie Hamilton. Because if they don't sign Larson and Klefbom's on LTI, well, there's $8 million to sign Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't sign Adam Larson, they circle back hard on Tyson Barrie. I think that's what the play is. I don't think you can lose both Larson and Tyson Barrie and think you're going to be able to fix that in free agency. Maybe at that point you could try and get in on that. But if something doesn't get sewn up here with Larson, right after the expansion draft here, and if it's looking like it's hurtling towards free agency, and Adam looks like he's going to want to go test the waters a little bit, I think the Oilers are absolutely going to be checking in on Tyson Barrie and figuring out, they need defensemen that can play. They have to be, as good or better next year. They can't go hurtling into free agency with those two gone and no idea whether they're going to be able to land anything. They need some certainty. So, my guess is one of those two guys is locked up before free agency starts. I don't know if it's going to be Larson or Barrie. I don't think they'll put themselves in a position where they've got either of them.
Okay. So, Barrie, though, he came out on record and saying, hey, he was looking for long term, right? So that's the, I just don't know if, long term, if you got You got Keith for 2 years. You got Bear. You got Barry. That's a smaller defense corps. Yeah, you got puck movers and everything. But when I look at the giant defense corps that win in the playoffs, I'm not sure that's ideal. Like, Adam Larson just makes more sense to the team.
Yeah, but he has to want to sign.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
So if he, let's say he decides, no, I'm going to test the market, and the Oilers go, so there's a chance we're going to lose him. Okay, well, if there's certainty to be had there with Barry, like, you can't go to free agency with that number of holes. Third line center, second line left wing, and two top, you know, six right shot defensemen that you're looking for? You kidding me? Trying to figure that out in free agency? So I don't think it gets to the point where both those guys test the market on them. I think they'll get something done with one of the two of them. And sure, it might not be ideal, but, like, Ken Holland's got to put a team on the ice next year.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that'll be man, Tyson Barry re-signing. I just would have to go off Twitter for a day or two. People would freak out on that one. Unless it's another short-term deal, because I say, of all the free agent signings in Edmonton, Tyson Barry's been the best one for term, and the value that he got for 1 year was great, because any multi-year free agent signings for the Edmonton Oilers since 2011, Mark Letestu has been the only one that panned out. The rest have been utter disasters.
Mark Letestu, yeah, he did a decent job, didn't he?
Well, he was $1.8 million, dude. He was their second leading scorer in the playoffs in 2011. He had 60 points over the first two seasons, and then he got traded at the deadline, right? They were terrible in 2018, so he was a pending free agent, so they traded him away. That's the one where they didn't have to buy him out, right? They didn't have to trade him for another bad salary. He's the best of the three-plus-year contracts. Now, doesn't have a lot of competition. You're talking Belanger. You're talking Fain. You're talking Pouliot. You're talking
Ferentz. You know what the difference is, though, with Barry, right? The difference is he's already been here, and they know it works.
Yeah, true.
All of those guys, they signed to these deals without knowing if it would work or not. They works with Barry.
Yeah, technically, sure. And he's not technically a free agent because he's re-signing your own player, so he wouldn't fall into that category. Sure.
It's worked already. So I just don't see the risk that, what if it doesn't pan out? Well, the risk would be, does his game drop off too much before the end of a four-year deal, say? You know, does his game drop off too much? And what does the number look like? But, I mean, if Tyson Barry decides that, you know, if Adam Larson is up in the air and potentially testing the market, and Tyson Barry decides that Edmonton was a really good fit, they've got a chance to win, you know, likes the idea of, you know, the direction things are heading in, and says, all right, and his number drops down below $5 million a year into the fours and four point whatever you want to say. I mean, I think the Oilers at that point would have to be listening and would have to get pretty serious about it. You know, I think as long as Barry's number is, you know, probably up over five and a half, you know, thinking that might be their form on the open market, then I understand Edmonton sort of feeling like, okay, we're not necessarily going to pay that premium. But if Barry decides that he's going to prioritize staying and the number reflects that, and Larson isn't, it's not, you know, looking like he may test it, do you think they'll have any choice? Like, they got to get one of these two done, don't they?
Well, you'd think so, but yeah, it'll be an interesting one. It's a unique offseason because you got to get players to want to come to your team, and it's not. I know some people think, well, they got McDavid and Draisaitl, and that just means everybody comes. It's not always that easy.
No, because unless it's a left winger, both right wingers are locked up. Although you could upgrade on Yamamoto, but, I mean, you think a third-line center is going to think, what a great opportunity for me to go play with those guys. No, he's not. You're not going to play that much, and the offensive opportunities aren't going to be there for you. Good luck getting a free agent centerman who wants a two-year look-see deal in Edmonton, you know, short-term. Yeah, that's not happening here. Forget about it. You play behind those two? So, yeah, that's going to be a tough one to fill.
Shogger, it's going to be fun. Have a good we'll see what tomorrow brings, the next big story in the NHL, because it could see a big one every day.
Right on, buddy. Yeah, look forward to it. See ya.